You may be used to seeing Stephen Colbert on TV as the host of The Colbert Report on Comedy Central. But this past June, he showed up on broadcast TV, in prime time, singing and dancing on the live CBS telecast of the Tony Awards. That's because Colbert was recreating his brief but well-received Broadway appearance as a supporting player in the New York Philharmonic's concert revival of Stephen Sondheim's 1970 musical Company. Those performances were filmed and shown in a limited run in movie theaters. Neil Patrick Harris starred as Bobby. Colbert's other onstage colleagues included Patti LuPone, Martha Plimpton, John Cryer, and Christina Hendricks, who plays Joan on Mad Men. Terry Gross spoke with Stephen Colbert in June 2011, the day after the Tony Awards telecast.
Stephen Colbert, welcome back to Fresh Air. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed hearing you and seeing you in Company at Lincoln Center. To see you singing Sondheim and to see you dancing in a little chorus line with a hat and a cane, I mean, it doesn't get better.
Well, thank you very much. It was an amazing amount of fun.
Good. You look like you were having fun, and that's
it was all
made
true.
It even more enjoyable.
I didn't fake a single smile.
So let's talk about Company. Now, there's a song in Company that you sing called Sorry Grateful, and it's a song about the ambivalence this character has about being married. And Neil Patrick Harris's character is the single guy in this, and all of his friends are like married couples, and they're actually all miserable, but they're trying to convince him he needs to get married. So he's been visiting you and your wife in this, and you've just been bickering and fighting the whole time, even had a karate match together. And then he says to you, and we'll hear what he says to you as you sing this song about the ambivalence of marriage, Sorry Grateful. So here is Stephen Colbert. The first line you're going to hear is Neil Patrick Harris.
You ever sorry you got married? You're always sorry. You're always grateful. You're always wondering what might have been. Then she walks in, and still you're sorry, and still you're grateful, and still you wonder, and still you doubt, and she goes out. Everything's different, nothing's changed. Only maybe slightly rearranged. You're sorry, grateful, regretful, happy. Why look for answers where none occur? You always are what you always were, which has nothing to do with, all to do with her.
Coming, darling.
That's Stephen Colbert in Stephen Sondheim's Company, a New York Philharmonic production. You sing with emotion and vulnerability in that song, things that you can never show on your own program, The Colbert Report. It's such a different side of you.
It is. It is at that. It's what I imagined I would be doing when I went to theater school.
Really? In musicals in particular?
Well, just anything in theater and musicals as part of it, I suppose. And it was such a bungee into an old dream to go do something like that. Because I went to Northwestern University and I went to the theater program there, and I worked very hard, and my intention was to spend my life doing theater. I imagined myself in college. I imagined myself living in New York in some sort of open, large, but very sparse studio apartment with a lot of blonde wood and a futon on the floor and a bubbling samovar of tea in the background and a big beard, you know, and, you know, living alone but with my beard and doing theater. And that's what I thought my life would be. And it has not been, and I love what I do. But to be asked to do this and then to accept the challenge of it, I had to start taking voice lessons again because I can la-di-da my way through a lot of music, and I've done so on my show and for other people, but to sing Sondheim is a completely different beast.
What's different about it?
Not being a music theorist, I'm not sure whether I could explain technically what's different, but there is a complexity of the note changes, like where you're going next in the song, in Sondheim, that isn't necessarily what you expect to do if you are mostly a la-di-da kind of guy.
So what did you learn from the singing lessons that you didn't know before?
Well, it was like a rediscovery when I did the singing lessons because I was doing all the stuff that I was doing when I was an undergrad at Northwestern. And what I discovered or rediscovered was the therapeutic nature of singing lessons. They're like doing yoga, but for the inside of your body. And they're
nicely put.
Thank you very much. They are. You open up and use muscles that you don't think of as malleable. And you spend a lot of time thinking about your soft palate and opening up your sinuses and it is almost impossible for someone to explain why that's important, how you can turn your head into a bell. But that's what, at least for me, that's what we kept on working on, is trying to get to things like resonance and projection and relaxation and just breathing. And then you have to forget all of it and sing. Or as my voice coach is Liz Kaplan. And Liz would say, we'd work and work and work. We worked for months. And then she said, oh, just sing stupid. It was just a few days before we went. She goes, just sing stupid. Just sing like you don't, like we've never discussed any of this. And just make every mistake you can think of, but just sing the song with all your heart. And that was the first breakthrough I had about a week before I had to do it. The way I sang it completely changed. And I'm incredibly grateful to her for encouraging me to sing stupid, which was really just to sing with feeling. And don't think about everything you're doing. A little less thinking, a little more feeling. I'm just quoting Mama.
So how did you get the part? Who said, get Stephen Colbert? Because it's not like you went and auditioned, right?
No. Well, you know, I do the show 161 days a year. And sometimes I don't know who the guest is coming up. And I looked up from my desk one day and I saw on the grid a few days ahead of me, it said Stephen Sondheim. And I was with my booker and I said, Stephen Sondheim? And she goes, do you not want Stephen Sondheim? I didn't know. A lot of people here weren't sure whether you'd want Stephen Sondheim. I said, oh God, do I want Stephen Sondheim? because people don't know this about me, that I really like musical theater. And I think of myself as an actor and a theater person, even though I've done no theater in 20 years. And people don't perceive what I do as acting, but I still do. And the canon of Stephen Sondheim is devastatingly beautiful to me. And I was so thrilled to have him on the show. So I did something I never do with my guests. I did research. I actually put effort into Stephen Sondheim because I knew it wouldn't be an easy interview because you never see him being interviewed. And I assumed he doesn't like it or something. And one of my writers and I worked on a little parody of Send in the Clowns. And one of the things, I have to stay in character. Even though I like him, I have to try to stay in character. It was very hard for me because I didn't want to go in attacking Stephen Sondheim or really even be that ignorant about Stephen Sondheim, which is another sort of tactic on the show. I can either sort of be hostile toward my guest or I can be ignorant of what they know and care about. And it was hard for me to do that with him because I care so much about him and – or his work, that is. And
you know what? Before you go any further, we have that clip right here.
So, oh, you do?
Yeah, we have it right here. So before you describe it more, why don't we actually hear it, and then we can talk more about how you got the part in Stephen Sondheim's company. So,
great.
So here's Stephen Sondheim interviewed on the Colbert Report, and you wrote a new ending to his most famous song in this, and let's hear how that played out.
Yes.
Maybe your biggest toe-tapper out there, the one that people know the best, is Send in the Clowns.
Very slow tap.
Very slow tap.
It's from A Little Night Music.
Yeah. It's from A Little Night Music?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where were the clowns? Because they said, where are the clowns? And we never find out where the clowns were, and it really leaves the audience hanging.
You know, she's a lost lady. She doesn't know where they are either.
Well, I found where they are. Would you like? I've got some lyrics that I'd like to perhaps finish your song.
Okay.
Where are the clowns? I booked them for 8. Hold on, that's them on the phone saying they're late. Traffic was bad. The tunnel's a mess. All 12 of them came in one car. They lost my address. You just can't trust clowns. That's why they're called clowns. So much more satisfying, isn't it? Isn't that satisfying to know where the clowns are?
Well, listen, we have 3 weeks left of the show on Broadway, a little time before it closes in January. I don't see any reason why Bernadette Peters can't sing that.
I'm totally ready to pitch it.
No, we need some laughs in the second act.
I hope. Is there more? Are you gonna have another book after 1981?
Yeah, the second one is going to be called Look, I Made a Hat.
Well, come on and talk about that.
I'd love to.
I rarely fawn because I like to seem more important than my guests. I would just say I'm so happy you came here. You and me, bud, we're the loonies. Did you know that?
Yeah,
I bet you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Stephen Sondheim, thank you so much.
You.
The book is Finishing the Hat.
I love that because, like, at the end, you really genuinely tell him how much you like him. And like you said, you don't usually do that on your show because you have to look superior to your guests.
Exactly. Yeah. Or feel superior, at least.
That's right. And that's a Sondheim lyric you're quoting at the end, right?
It is. I'm imperfectly quoting it, but that's from Sunny in the Park with George. That's the boatman who says to George, "You and me, pal, we're the loonies. Did you know that? Bet you didn't know that." And I love Sunny in the Park with George. I saw that when I was just starting theater school, and I remember singing Finishing a Hat, or at least reading the lyrics to Finishing a Hat. And other songs from Sunny in the Park with George to my mom to try to explain why I want her to be an artist.
I've interviewed Stephen Sondheim, I think, 4 times, and he never asked me to be in one of his musicals. So what did you do?
I did nothing.
Wrong?
And I did not realize that I was auditioning at that point. I was just one of my writers, Peter Gwynn, worked on that song. And I was so happy that he had a good time at the interview, and I was so happy that it ended well with that parody of the song, and that he took it as the Valentine it was meant to be, and I thought that was it. Well, great! I did a good interview with Stephen Sondheim. That's a little notch on the belt. And then we got a call that Lincoln Center was going to do a Company, and would I want to play a part in it? And my agent so wisely said, "No, he doesn't have any time." And he told me later that he'd already turned it down. I said, geez, James, you know what? That was the right call. That's the right call. Absolutely. Wow, that's hard to say no to. But yeah, you're absolutely the right call. There's no way. It's insane. I can't do it. And then a couple of days later, I got a letter from – a hand-typed letter from Stephen Sondheim saying that he, against his instincts, he had a good time on my show. And would I consider playing Harry in Company? And he ended the letter with the sentence, "You have a perfect voice for musical theater." And I read it to my wife, and she said, "Well, you have to do this. No one, let alone Stephen Sondheim, is ever going to ask you to do Sondheim." And I said, "You're right, I have to do it." And that sentence, "You have a perfect voice for musical theater," I throw around willy-nilly now. Like, my wife and I will be having an argument, like, who takes out the trash or who needs to pick up the kid from, you know, from soccer practice, and I'll just turn and go, "I have a perfect voice for musical theater." And it generally wins the argument.
So one more thing about Company. Your character on The Colbert Report brags about everything that he's doing, every time he's mentioned, every time he gets an award, everything that's named after him. I didn't hear you mention Company once on The Colbert Report.
I did not.
How come?
Not that I think that the things that my character mentions on the show get poisoned by the mention, but there is a level that people could ascribe an insincerity to the things that I tout on the show. And I didn't want to ascribe any insincerity to trying to go do this thing at Lincoln Center. And because I knew that it was – I was dealing with somebody else's delicate product. And I didn't want to invest it with my character's ego because it would just flavor what I was doing in a way that I don't think would be useful to the production. And the second thing is I had no idea whether I wanted anyone to know I was doing it because I knew how hard it was going to be and I was afraid I would suck.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't mind failing so much, but I am a perfectionist. So if you're a perfectionist and you know you're about to go do something, for instance, company at Lincoln Center, if you know you're about to do something at which you cannot be perfect, you know this ahead of time, then that is daunting because you know what your heart is like and the way you approach your work. So that it's difficult to know you're not going to be perfect. And I guess I just didn't – I was afraid to invite people.
That's interesting. Of course, it couldn't be kept a secret.
No, I know, but I didn't want
to
brag about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It.
Of course it couldn't be kept a secret, but you know, I didn't want to say, I'm going to be great.
Right.
You're not going to want to miss this.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on to your socks, America. I'm singing Sondheim.
Stephen Colbert speaking to Terry Gross in June 2011. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering support from Joyce Lieberman and Julian Hirschfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Melody Kramer is our associate producer of online media. Sue Spolin directed the show. For Terry Gross, I'm David Biancooley. From all of us at Fresh Air, we wish you a very happy and healthy New Year.